Last week was something. God is so good, though, and we experienced something that, you know, the doctors didn't think would happen. And a little update: Leanne's mom is, as we know right now, unless they change their mind, is being moved tomorrow to the Lutheran home. So she's coming out of the hospital and being moved to the Lutheran home. Which is her therapy, not into nursing, but into rehab. So, which is a blessing because we just were unsure. And I know I left last week, and that's the first time I've ever left church like that, you know. And it was hard. It was awkward to me. You know, it's like, man, I'm drawn. And the scripture teaches us that sometimes we'll be drawn between two things. Sometimes our family and doing the work of the Lord. And that's hard sometimes to discern and make those decisions. And especially on Father's Day, you know. And so, but I kind of wanted to back up, if that's okay. And I've kind of redone my sermon a little bit, so it kind of is for not just fathers, but for everybody. How's that? And it's just been on my heart. And I wanted to talk a little bit, first off, about how our salvation is not based on our performance. It's not. It's solely based upon the love of the Father in heaven. You hear me? Because our Heavenly Father is a Father who loves us very much. Our Heavenly Father is a Father who instructs us. He's a Father that provides for us. He protects us. He encourages us. Amen. He disciplines us, though. But He forgives us. And He cares about us. Amen. He blesses us. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've felt His wonderful blessings in my heart. Sometimes we don't see it in our lives. Sometimes if we focus on worldly things, if we focus on the things of this world, we can be just disappointed, can't we? I've talked about that. We watch the news, disappointment. We talk about election or politics, disappointment. And sometimes it's family disappointment. Sometimes it's this life in this world can be so disappointing and discouraging. But God promises His abundant life spiritually. He promises to bless us above, I mean, beyond what we deserve. And it doesn't take us long to understand why, as fathers, we sometimes fall short either. Because we have such a long list of things to... a long list of responsibilities that we can't sometimes accomplish. We as fathers and mothers, as parents, as Christians. Also as children, we've got to be forgiving. I'm telling you, we got to be forgiving because we're not perfect. We're not perfect, and our earthly fathers and mothers aren't perfect either. And so as children, we gotta be forgiving and loving. You know, sometimes I think about this where maybe sometimes our parents fell short of what we thought they needed to do, or we must allow our Heavenly Father to step in and be what our parents lacked. You know, I can't stand here this morning and tell you that I am the perfect parent or perfect father. But I'll try to tell you and describe to you what I believe the Scripture tells us, what God would want us to learn and how He would want us to be as fathers and mothers to our children and to the people of God that God has brought into our lives. Because we're not only a father and a mother to our own children or a grandparent to our own children. We can be good mothers and fathers to other young people around us too. And that's important. There's a lot of young people, young men, older men, that never had a father figure in their life or never had a good mother figure in their life. And they need good, they need us to be that for them, don't they? And so, you know, we can trust Him. We can trust God with our families, can't we? Amen? I think we should, you know? God the Father is what is needed in our families, and He can help us be what we need to be. Amen? He can help us. And, you know, so I want to talk this morning, since I wasn't able to share last week a little bit, I want to talk about this morning. You know, a father should love his children, right? A mother should too. A godly father should also incorporate the love that God has for his family. John, 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Amen? The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. You know, until we understand the great love and sacrifice that God the Father has for us, we could never be the person God wants us to be with our families. Our Heavenly Father didn't send His Son, Jesus, because of our great performance, is what I was saying earlier, but our great need for a Savior, a great need to save this world from their sins and their mistakes. You know, loving others with the love of God is not easy, is it? It's no easy task to love like God. God's love is pure, and it has no personal agenda attached to it. He just loves us. I can't imagine if Christ, just before He went to the cross, when He was in the garden praying, thought, "Man, I don't like this feeling. I hate this feeling. I don't feel like doing this. Therefore, I base my decision upon what I feel, and I'm just not going to do it." I wonder if that would have happened. If that would have happened, we'd all been hopelessly doomed, wouldn't we? And the good news, of course, is we know that Jesus resisted and fought back His feelings, and even though he prayed three times to have this cup removed, He was more interested in doing the will of the Father than what He felt like doing. And I thank Him for that. I praise Him for that. Romans 5:8 said Jesus, it says that Jesus displayed His love by willingly going to the cross and dying for sinners and those of us who were still His enemies and desperately wicked. Man. So I think we got to emphasize that love is a choice more than a feeling, because feelings are subjective, right? While love is objectively displayed in action. It's what we do. I may not feel like doing something, but I do it because I love somebody, right? There's a lot of times when the old alarm bell go off at 4:30 in the morning and it was time to go to work, and I'm like, "I don't want to do this." But I love my wife, I love my kids, and I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to go to work. Because I got to eat, you know?"
Yeah, you got to eat.
Yep. Teddy knows we got to eat. You know, the thing is I guess really the bottom line is that love is what a person chooses to do and not what a person chooses to feel. It takes both, doesn't it? We choose to, even when we don't feel like it, but so many relationships, I mean, so many marriages are broken today because they base their love completely on feelings. You ask anybody that's been married over 30 years and they'll tell you that their marriage wasn't always based on feelings, because there were some days they felt like skipping town. It's the truth. Everybody laughs, but they know I'm telling the truth. So this morning, this message is marriage counseling all wrapped up into you know. But you know, I mean, it's not based on our feelings. God so loved the world because He chose to love the world. And if He would have based His, you know, based all that solely on feelings, well, you know, we'd all have to suffer His wrath. We really would. And you remember a few weeks ago when I spoke on Mother's Day? You remember the story I told, the one that I ended shortly? Somebody even asked me, you never did finish that story. What happened after your dad caught you? You remember I told the story about me taking Mom's car when I wasn't supposed to, and then I jumped the bridge, you know, and knocked a hole in the gas tank, and I was off the side of the road and trying to fix the gas from pouring out, and then Dad, I hear a car door slam, and it's Dad. And as I'm looking out from underneath the car, he's looking at me with a look that I hadn't seen before. Maybe close. But if my dad would have based that moment then solely upon feelings that day, I probably wouldn't be here today. Because I know deep down he was mad, disappointed, heart, I mean all those wrapped up into one, and you know, he was ready. But because of his love for me, he chose to spare my life. He did. Maybe a little bit of Mom's prayers too. Bill, please don't kill him. You know, maybe a little of that. You know, a father should instruct his children. A godly father reads the Word of God, watches and lives the Word of God, and instructs his children in the ways they should go. I think it's important. I can't say that I've not always been perfect, you know. John 5:19-23, Jesus' own words, he tells us this, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Heavenly Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. And yes, he will show him even greater works than these, so that he will be amazed. For just as the Father raised the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but as it has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Interesting, isn't it? Godly fathers, we teach mothers too. We teach our children the importance of the relationship with God by what we do, how we live out our lives in front of them, being what our Heavenly Father wants us to be. I've said this many times, is our community sees how much we love God by how we live our lives. We live our lives with love that the Father displayed upon the whole world. If we can live that way, let me tell you, the world notices those things. Deuteronomy 11:18-21 says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frame of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land of the Lord's swore to give your ancestors, and as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Man, forever, isn't it? Proverbs 4:1 says it like this, listen, my sons, to a father's instructions and pay attention and gain understanding. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs 22:6, we all have heard it many times, I'll put it that way. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. These are all great things to remember, isn't it? Something for us, something for the children, something for the parents. It's both ways. Each of us makes choices. I chose to take a car. My dad chose not to kill me. You know, we make choices to let it be. Bad choices carry consequences, though, don't they? Unfortunately, some of us learned that the hard way. But so do good choices. Good choices carry consequences too. And this passage tells us that if your children come back in their roots of teaching, though they drift away, they will be reminded of the teaching that you taught them. They'll never forget it. They may not live like they forgot it, but let me tell you, deep down inside of them, they remember what you taught them. We as parents should provide for our children. The father should provide for his children. We agree with that, right? A godly father provides for his children. And I guess, in my words, don't be lazy. You know? Don't be lazy when it comes to working so that our children will have what they need. You notice I didn't say want, but our Heavenly Father blesses us with needs and some wants, but He promises to simply supply our needs, okay, and not necessarily our wants. There's a lot of things that I want, a lot of things that I'd like to have, and sometimes there's things that I think I need. It's a need, but it's not necessarily a need that God says that I need. How's that? Now I'm talking like Paul. There was a lot of things I wanted as a child and never got them. That's not a bad reflection upon my parents. But when I look back, let me tell you, I never was hungry. I never was hungry. I always had clothes to wear, even though they may have been my big brothers. You know? Nobody else had to know that, right? Sometimes they had patches on the knees. That's okay. I always had what I needed and a few things that I wanted. Like a new shotgun I remember when I was a young teenager.
A new shotgun.
Yeah, well, a second new shotgun because the other one was a little defective.
Yeah.
And I could tell those stories, and I won't. But we patched the roof, and it's okay. Yeah, but let me tell you, the second new shotgun, I still have it today. And I cherish that shotgun. It meant a lot to me then. And it means a lot to me now, 42 years later. Just like an old guitar that I have at home. Bought from Floyd Mayberry in Murfreesboro. Yep, Floyd had a store in Murfreesboro in 1975. Kurt, remember? 1975, my dad bought a brand new guitar from Floyd Mayberry, and I still have that guitar. I still play it. Sits in my office. Had it here at church for a while until I got this one. But, you know, I think about those things. I know each generation wants to give their kids more. We do. I always wanted my kids to have more than what I had. But that can be bittersweet. But you look at the things, that what they cost today. Man, I'm telling you, you go to the grocery store and you see what car prices are. Wow, insurance, health care, all these things. I mean, they just, you know, I was over at Pastor Kim's, you know, did the revival, Kim Smith, and he invited me over to his house, and then I helped put a back door in his house, you know. I did get lunch out of it. But we had some great conversations the day I was over there. And one thing we did talk about was what things cost when him and his wife first started out. It seems to always be a normal conversation that two guys have. We start talking about how much things cost. And then we talked about what things cost when Lee and I were married. And then we talked about his dad and mom when they were married. You know, all of the, what things cost, you know. And now to survive, it seems like it's harder now than ever to survive. It seems like to me when I look at what things cost. And a couple young guys were at my house last night and I was talking to them. And one boy was talking about his truck and how it got, you know, 12 miles to the gallon. And, you know, and I was like, man, that gets in your pocket pretty hard, doesn't it? You know, and he wants to go running around, you know, and he's spending $40 a night. If he goes, you know, and to me, I'm thinking, man, it only cost me like $6, you know, when I was his age, and I could fill my truck up, and I could go McDonald's, and I could, you know, I could do that, and for $6, you know, but now it's like $40 to do the same thing, and it just, it's, I think about those things, you know, and today kids need more. It seems like, to get more and expect more than the previous generation, for sure. Kids today, they got expectations, right? They just expect it. I mean, you know, and I see kids like that, you know, well, you know, they just expect people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay? I mean, kids are just spoiled, rotten. My kids, too. Spoiled. Well, anyway, I read a quote by G. Michael Hopp. And he defines what I'm saying. He says it better than me. He says, I walk 10 miles to work in the snow barefoot. And I'm sure you've heard this. You've heard this adage before from your parents and even jokingly said it to your children. And I recently read this expanded version of this story. He says, my grandfather walked 10 miles to work every day, and my father walked five. I'm driving a Cadillac, and my son's driving a Mercedes. My grandson will be in a Ferrari, but my great-grandson will be walking again. Because tough times create strong men, and strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men, and weak men create tough times. And I wonder, we see what's going on in this world today. It's a cycle of things. And as parents, we may intellectually understand this concept because we've always, I heard my dad say and talk about how he grew up and how, you know, how hard it was for them and, you know, his grandparents, how hard it was for them, and they always wanted us to do better. They want us to go to school. They want us to get a good education so that we can have good jobs. But through all that, I understand what the writer's saying. Sometimes we become snowplows for our children to knock obstacles out of their way that makes them stronger because we don't want them to suffer in any way or go without in any way. And this is where we try to remove all those obstacles from our children's past so they don't suffer the pain of discomfort that we did, maybe. And wanting to remove the painful obstacles, I think, is natural for us to want to do that. And in doing so, sometimes we deprive them of the learning and growing from their struggles. I think about what Jesus said in Matthew 7:9-11, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? We want to give good gifts to our children, don't we? I think of our limited wisdom and knowledge, we could not, you know, purposefully give anything to harm our children. We want to give them good things. But then again, sometimes it's bittersweet, isn't it? How much more will God, who loves us unconditionally and without personal agenda, give us the things that will not harm us? The reason He keeps some things from us, I think, is He knows it will harm us. And it may cause us to stumble and hinder our relationship with Him sometimes if we don't get what we want. And it may keep us from being the parents that we need to be. But I think most of us know the Scripture, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will what? Shall be given, right? Are given to us as well, as one translation says. Matthew 6:31-33. We know that Scripture, but do you know what comes right before that? You remember what it says there. It says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Again, bad choices have consequences, and He can help us, but sometimes it takes time and effort and sacrifice. And the promise is in seeking the kingdom first. It's seeking God first for everything that we do and some of our wants. And God wants to bless us. Some people want God's blessings without God. Many people live wanting the benefits of the cross without putting the sacrifice of their own self. I know it rains on the just and on the unjust, but believers not seeking God first will and have faced many trials could have been avoided. Man, I'm telling you, if you ever look back and think, man, if I would have done this, or I hadn't have done that, I could have avoided a big mess. I think we're all there, right? We're all there. We've all had those moments. Just like me, if I hadn't have taken Mom's car that day, I wouldn't have knocked a hole in the gas tank. And that was a big deal because Mom worked. And that was her car. That is how she got to work. So then it put us down to one vehicle, an old farm truck that we drove. So that made it difficult until the car got fixed. And I think back, man, if I hadn't have done that. But now I think, you know, I wouldn't have had a good story to tell. You know, but God uses our lack of good judgment along with the good judgments to help us. And sometimes I've always thought He uses idiots like me to help teach other people not to do stupid things, right? I remember, Madison's not here right now, but one time she told me, she had just turned 18. She said, Dad, I'm 18. I know. That's what she said. I said, really? I said, I remember when I was 18, and let me tell you, you don't know as much as you think you do.
Yeah, I miss that number.
Last thing I'll say is we should be praying for our children. Amen?
Amen?
We should be praying for our children and each other. And we can only take care of them so far.
Yeah.
And when they get to a certain age, let me tell you, there comes a time where we just got to put them in God's hands. Amen. We just got to turn them over to the good Lord and say, Lord, I need you to take care of my kids. I've done all I can do. I'm limited. And I've met that limitation. John 17, 1:19. I didn't have it written down. Let's see if I got it right. You got your Bibles. That's not it. Sorry, I thought I had that marked. 17. John 17, 1:19, 1 through 19, it says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, to whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours to give them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. By that name you gave me, none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy in them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. I love that scripture. I want that for my own kids too. You know, praying is not the last thing we do as parents. It must be the first thing that we do. Sanctify them by the truth. Is His word is the truth. You know, I think thinking of our fathers and mothers sometimes can be hard, because I know that there's some here today that's lost their fathers and lost their mothers, and those are hard to think back. Maybe sometime those that didn't have great parents, great fathers and mothers, and those that are, you know, it just makes it hard. But for you this morning, my prayer is that my Heavenly Father will be your Heavenly Father. And I pray that Father, for Him to give you all the strength that you need. All the strength that you need. Because that's what He wants. He wants to give us His love. And as His instruction and His providing, and He prayed, that's what we want to do for our kids too, isn't it? I think one thing that I've learned is you cannot stay bitter at someone that you're praying for. Amen. So even if it's not your own kids, pray. I can't be selfish if I expect God to love me. I need to love like the Father loved in every way that I can. Instructing and providing for those things that God has instructed me with. From my oldest human that I'm responsible for to my youngest human that I'm responsible for. God entrusted me. And sometimes I fail at that. We're not perfect. But I trust God to help me in those times. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You. Lord, I thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. And Lord, let us leave here with joy in our hearts. Lord, that with Your help, we can be great, great parents. And Lord, we need You. We need You, especially in these days ahead. Lord, as this world waxes worse, as we witness Your Scripture being fulfilled right in front of our eyes, Lord. Our kids need us to be greater examples now than ever. And so, Lord, even though maybe we failed in the past, that we can step up and be that example today and from here out until we see You come. Lord, I thank You for what You're going to do. Lord, I pray that You continue to bless this church and the people that are in it. Lord, help us be great witnesses to this community that You put us in. You put us here to be that light, that shining on a hill. Let us be that fire burning that people can see us and know You. Lord, help us today. Let us leave here better than we came. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.